soul with liberty and justice for all.
We had trouble with that. Now we'll see what we get. Why don't we do our introductions first? I'm Rick Allen, and I'm the city manager right now.
I'm Bob Steffens, and I'm a committee member.
A city resident.
City resident.
And I'm Linda Johnston, and I'm a city resident.
I'm Laura Beebe. I'm not a city resident.
I'm Kim Molinex. I'm a city resident.
Patty Morgan, administrative assistant.
Mary Thorson, a non-resident.
Linda Bonham, citizen of the United States, and non-resident.
I'm Dale J. Ashenfelder, Jr. I'm a resident.
And running for the council.
And running for city council.
Okay.
Katie Shields, mayor of LaPine.
Ashley Williams, administrative assistant for LaPine Special Sewer District.
Okay. First order of business then is to elect us a chair for and or a vice chair, so when the chair can't be at the meeting, that's all the positions we would need for this. And so someone want to make a motion?
I make a motion that I have a lot of background on Bob Steffens' experience, and I make a motion that he be chairman of the committee.
As what?
Chairman of the committee.
And I second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Linda seconded it. Any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Clerk, you got that down as passing. I'm going to hand that over to him and get his vice president.
Do we need to elect a vice?
We should, in case you're sick or gone.
I entertain a motion to elect a vice.
I make a motion that Vicki Johnson, Linda Johnson, as the vice chair.
I second it.
There's a motion and a second. Or is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Okay. I'm going to rely on Rick to help us stay to the agenda here. We do have a quorum. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. Are there any added agenda items?
Not that I can think of right now.
Charter introduction and work session.
Okay.
Can you help me with that?
You bet. First, you've got your books, and you'll notice we're just going to walk through just to look at what the categories are. The model charter, and what that is the League of Oregon Cities has what they call a model charter, and it's only a few pages thick, and then there's all the descriptions and things and notes, but they're usually about 8 to 10 pages thick is what a charter is. And over the years, they've refined them and shortened them, actually. And so any new city kind of works from this template. Then you personalize it. And so that's number one there. Then the city draft, which we're going to go through in the PowerPoint, that is the charter section by section, and then with blow-ups of the questions before us. And what I did is I picked out kind of areas. I mean, some of the charter is kind of just, you know, so does and as, and the things that really you might not care about so much. But if there's an area, you can literally change about every page. So you need to decide. If you see, when we get into this, if you see something that jumps out at you, that's good. Then we jump. What I did is I put four charters in here. Now, if you go online, any of you, the League of Oregon Cities, you're going to be able to find probably 250 charters. So it depends on how busy you are and what all you want to look at. So if you have a favorite city that you grew up in, you know, go look at their charter. I picked these four because, you know, Prango's 10,000 people, they have updated their, so it's a 100-year city, but they've updated their charter in the last few years. So it's got some elements of a newer charter. Damascus is the newest city next to us. Mm-hmm. So they're in the valley, and then Sisters is population a little bit bigger than us, business-wise, a little different, but it's still a small city close to our size. Culver's a little smaller.
So you kind of got a city a little bigger, a little smaller, Prineville a lot bigger, and then you got one that's newer, Damascus. And so there's no rhyme or reason other than I thought that I have Madison here and their charter is so bad, I took it out. And I've told the city manager that he has the worst charter in Oregon. Obviously Bend and Redmond are just bigger cities. Mm-hmm. And like I say, you can go look at any one of them and you're going to find most of it fairly the same. The charter, and a lot of you know a lot of this, but I just think tonight one thing we'll do is get a schedule later. The charter has to go to vote of the people, and we are working on doing this in the May ballot. We have to have it to the clerk's office in late February, 1st of March, so that it can get on the ballot. We'll have to have some, the city council will have some hearings and different things. And my goal was then to have us spend October, November, get it done, because at Christmas you get busy. Basically, let the new council then do the hearings. We would turn it over to them in January so that the new council. I didn't want to try to have the old council hear it in case they aren't going to be there in January. And then you theoretically have people that are on your council who may or may not support the charter, and then they're out negative talking about it. So it's probably not the best thing. So I think, you know, the idea is might be able to do this in three meetings or something. It may go quicker than you think. We'll know how it all goes. I thought we need to have a public hearing at some point, or have maybe something over, go to the school, or go somewhere to have kind of a, we're going to present the charter and let people comment. Maybe do that after two meetings, get some of their comments, then we come back for a third meeting to see if we want to change anything and kind of get a feel for it. Again, all that's flexible. We've got 2 or 3 months. We just need to be done by about the middle of December. And you guys can kind of push it how you want. And there were some people who didn't like having on Wednesday night, so that's going to be our last thing tonight, is to pick when we meet. And trying to herd 9 people and everything. We'll work this however everybody can. Let's see. With that, we can just start into it if you want. If you have any questions or comments.
Let's do it.
Okay. This this can become part of our program that we do with the public. So I've kind of put this together. And if you see your name is spelled wrong, please tell me. There's lots of names up there. If you'd like, you know, a PhD behind your name or anything that you want, let me know. The charter for the city of Lapine was incorporated January 1st, 2007. The election was in November, but it actually became a city. We, the voters of Lapine, Oregon, exercise our power to the fullest extent possible under the Oregon Constitution and the laws of the state and enact this home rule charter. Presented to the voters of Lapine, May 17th, 2011. And that's when the election would be. So it's kind of a preamble to, and you'll notice it's got a kind of a gold yellow background. We can jazz this up and do what we want once we kind of get our charter. Trying to make people realize it's important, because it will be there a long time, and it's really the basis. They're brief. That's why they're only 9 or 10 pages, and yet they talk about how we do things. And charters tend to get updated every 20 years, 25 years. They'll change a couple little things. Now, some charters are getting cluttered up a little bit. What you'll find on the back page or two occasionally, you'll see where the voters have thrown something in, where they've had a little tit for tat over something. And you'll find Matters just had a charter election to ban the building of the new city hall on a particular piece of property. And the only way they could try to do it was to put it to the charter vote, and it was defeated. Mm-hmm. And it was a group of soccer players who used the field to play soccer in, and they felt the charter needed to be changed to protect their soccer field. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous, because the charter is really broader than that. You start putting in land use decisions in your charter. Culver has a charter amendment that you cannot expand the urban growth boundary without a vote of the people. Because the people didn't want the city to grow. And they threw that up in the heat of the battle, and so the council cannot just go do the LCDC UGB process, you actually have to put it to the vote of the people. So over time, over 100 years, little things get thrown in them, but they're not lots. And you'll notice all of them kind of have that different way of looking at things. So we'll just start then. This is the template charter, and you read that, and you can either read in your book or read it up there. That to me didn't jump out. That was kind of to me, you know, nothing that you would change. I put in our we the voters exercise our rights. This charter may be referred to as a 2011 Lapine charter. Name the city of Lapine, Oregon. You need your spelling right. I've had people tell me, you know, you have an A or a P and is there a space? Mm-hmm. You really, this is a place you want to make sure that you have it the way you want it. I didn't highlight that because I'm assuming that is how you want it. And if I'm wrong on that, you jump right in quickly because we'll be able to change it. As you described, with the name of the city of Lapine, the boundaries. The city includes all territory within its boundaries as they now exist or are legally modified, so the city can change over its course of the city. The city maintains a public record, an accurate and current description of the boundaries. So make sure you all speak up if there's see something or if you want to suggest a change, because then what we'll do is, and I want you to keep track of changes, really, probably less of the talk, because what we need is someone recommends a change, more of the bullet point, you know, people can listen to the DVD if they want to hear us. We need to know what kind of changes people suggest. So silence, of course, is agreement. So,
is there currently a public record, as a public record, an accurate and current description of the boundaries?
Yes. It's not, you don't put it in the charter. Yes, when you formed, there was.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how you know where the boundaries are.
I think we have a map on the website, too, that covers that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that's a meets and bounds. I mean, somewhere there's a description.
Okay.
Is that there? Is that probably?
Yes, there is. It's actually in the formation documents.
Okay. Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back to them again. The powers. The city has all the powers that the Constitution, statutes, and common laws of the United States and Oregon express or imply, grant, or allow the city as fully as though this charter specifically enumerated each of those powers. The construction. The charter will be liberally constructed so the city may exercise fully all powers possible under this charter and under the United States and Oregon law. The Oregon Constitution reserves initiative and referendum powers as to all municipal legislators to city voters. The charter vests all other city powers in the council, except unless the charter says otherwise. So the council has the power, unless somewhere we were to do something different. The council has legislative, administrative, and quasi-judicial. What that means is, legislative, of course, is passing rules and regulations. Administration is operating the city. Quasi-judicial is more when we get into land use, where we actually have a hearing, and they can appeal a hearing, and that's kind of more of the courts type situation. So those are the three branches of kind of government that are allowed in the charter. The council exercises legislative authority by ordinance, and we'll talk about ordinances in here. Administrative authority by resolution, which is a little looser, and then the quasi-judicial authority by order. Council may not delegate its authority to adopt ordinances. So you're going to have a lot more flexibility on resolutions. Ordinances are really the law of the land. So it's going to tell us you have to read it here. You have to have unanimous approval if you want to approve it in one meeting. Otherwise, it has to come back at a second meeting. We'll get into all of that. Ordinances are kind of the law. And that's... So any comments, questions, thoughts?
So do you think that that's pretty much how we want to say it here?
This is from the... Yeah, I mean, nothing jumped again out at me. These are from the model charter. you know, you could change a word or two, but you got to be careful what you're changing. Making sure it doesn't have some effect. But to me, these were kind of the preamble type stuff. But the next one is when you get into your... And like I say, you can go look at these other charges. That's why I put all these other charging. Always quick look back. What you'll find is some of them are different orders. Damascus's, you will find, is 90-some percent like this. Prineville's is actually 90% like this. Sisters and Culver then start to diverge a little because of the age of when they were last changed.
I think the one thing this actually states here is, and I assume it's okay, is that the council may delegate administrative authority and quasi-judicial. And I presume we would want to be able to do that.
Yes. May not delegate.
No, we...
Or on ordinances. The others...
We may delegate the other two.
You're correct. Yes.
Or the council may delegate the other two.
If I recall, I think that in reference to that, the quasi-judicial authority can come into play with the Planning Commission. So there's a specific relationship between the council and the plan, you know, where you go into a quasi-judicial. So that's really where that, if I remember correctly, comes into play.
And I guess we would look to you and your counsel for any advice if it were contrary to what this says. On the quasi-judicial authority, you being able to delegate quasi-judicial authority. And again, I presume this is, I would think this is good.
I would get your opinion on that case by case.
You have your book.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Sable bubble, come back. Here's where, you know, this is definitely in place, and what I tried to do is kind of bold out what I thought are the major areas in there, but you need to read it. We'll walk through it, and then other things may jump out. The council consists of a mayor and four councilors, nominated and elected from the city at large. So what that's saying is, there's not districts, you don't have zones. There are some cities that do zones, very few, but this isn't at large. No matter if you all live next door to each other, you all have to live in the city, you're elected at large. The mayor presides over, facilitates council meetings, preserves order, enforces council rules, and defines order of business under council rules. The mayor is a voting member of the council, has no veto authority. The mayor in matters only votes in a tie. Now, the net effect of that is the same. Because if it's 3-2, as long as there's three votes on a five-person group, that side wins. So some people like to where the mayor only votes in a tie. Most do not do it that way, you'll see. With the consent of the council, the mayor appoints members of commissions and committees established by ordinance or resolution. The mayor must sign all records of council decisions. The mayor serves the political head of the city. Now, the interesting thing here always is, this with the consent of council, the mayor appoints members. That you'll find in most of them. When I was mayor, I first wanted to appoint my committees. But you have to get the consent of the council. So the fact is, the mayor can recommend them, but ultimately the council can say no. And that is pretty consistent, you're going to find in all the charters. Council president, first meeting of the year, you're going to pick who is your council president from its membership. The president presides in the absence of the mayor, acts as the mayor when the mayor is unable. Rules, the council must, by resolution, adopt rules to govern its meetings. And we have some now, and we'll probably update those, but they have adopted some rules. So, the biggies in here were, number 7, the mayor selected from the council or elected, and how large of a council, 5 or 7. And one of these came out in the questions here, should the mayor be elected? And you'll see the answer to that. And then the mayor votes to break a tie. So here's the first question. And what I did is I put up here then so you don't have to go pawing through. The Prineville Council has 7 people. They're all elected from the city at large. The mayor runs. You run as mayor. So 6 are elected, the mayor runs. Damascus, the same thing. 6 councilmen and the mayor runs. Sisters, there's 5 council members, all elected as councilmen, and the council picks the mayor, as we do here currently. And that's a 5-person council. And Culver is elected at large. The mayor runs for office there like they do in the other cities. Now, Culver just switched after 98 years to a 7-person council. So, you know, that was a thing you want to talk about, 5 or 7, and it's really a fairly big issue. People tend to want more, but there's a lot of reasons not to. And like I say, Sisters is about your size. They're at 5 and have been there 100 years, and Culver has been there. They've had their 100th celebration this year, as you did, and they just did it. So they spent 98 years with 5 members, and they have 1,500 people. So that's your first, I think, question that we want to hear debate on and thoughts. And you did get some answers on the mayor part of that. Elect the mayor, appoint him. So this is your chance.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt what this questionnaire said.
Well, why don't you, because a lot of people don't know what it is. Why don't you say
Should the mayor be elected by the voters or the council? And this survey, which was conducted at the Heart and Spirit of Lapine 100th year birthday party, 52-10, or actually total votes were 63-14, that it should be elected by the voters rather than the council.
That the mayor should be elected?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The mayor should be elected.
So that's our first question, and you can debate it, or I think, Chairman, maybe if you, on these kind of things, if you'd ask every person so that we know, don't let them be silent on some of these.
On the council?
Yeah, I mean, just committee? Yeah.
Or KIPP committee, yeah. I mean.
I think we should elect the mayor. I do too.
Ken says yes.
I say elect.
And Linda says yes.
And I say yes.
Why do you guys like that?
The mayor has to answer to the city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel if they can vote for that person, they have
yes,
more control.
That's right.
And I think you're going to get more interaction if you have people vote for your mayor. Mm-hmm.
I think the mayor can also be held more accountable.
Yes.
Yeah, the other cities, Bend appoints their mayor. It becomes political because it's favors or whose turn is it and that. And then Redmond's is not. Redmond, you run for mayor in Redmond. And I think that your mayor is, it makes your mayor more of that political leader. They are elected by the voters. They are the mayor of that city. And they answer, they don't have to kind of worry about what different councilmen think. And I think it people tend to remember who the mayor is when they're elected, and when they're appointed from within, it's rotating. Yeah. People never can remember who the mayor in Bend is, but you knew, people in Redmond knew Alan Under was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Lapine likes to vote on this conference. Lapine wants to have that say.
I think they want to identify the person responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I think in each one of these positions holds a different level of responsibility.
Okay. So make sure that we have it down. You know, the people wanted that, and we'll bold that. Again, I'm trying to make these minutes just a little different than normal. The person can go, I don't want to go through 40 pages of minutes to hunt out the things that we want to change on this charter.
Okay.
So the group agreed unanimously.
Unanimously we agree.
To recommend.
One question, though. Administratively, what is the difference?
None. It's just how they became mayor.
Okay.
They either appointed. I treat Kitty the same as she was had been elected by the voters. I mean, she's the mayor.
Okay.
Okay. Next is voting. The mayor is a voting member of the council and has no veto authority. This will be pretty easy. But just want to make sure you have a chance to weigh in. Because you can have it either way.
No voting. The mayor cannot veto.
You can talk about
that's
it.
That's right.
The mayor has voting authority, but no veto authority.
That sounds fine. Thank you.
Any discussion?
Now, did we get to the did we get past the point of where the mayor votes in a tie?
Well,
are we there yet?
We can put it.
If the mayor has voting authority,
yeah, then they vote.
That means that he or she can vote whether there's a tie or not.
Right, but I mean, is there any advantage? And shouldn't we talk about the fact that the mayor only votes
only in case of a tie?
Sure, that's two different options.
Right. I think that the probably the reason that some cities would maybe have the mayor only vote in a tie, they actually can go through a meeting and not. Sometimes I have to hardly state where they stand on an issue. But the thought is it keeps the meeting moving. They're freer to go out and do things. And the result is exactly the same. But when you do get a tie and the mayor gets to vote, it's a big deal. So there's other, if you think of other just nonprofits and other groups, sometimes the chairmen just don't vote. There's no right or wrong.
And aren't there also cities where the mayor is not a member of the council and only votes in a tie?
Yes. Yes. There are. Probably more.
Just giving out different scenarios.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's what we want. Yeah. Those are the two options, either vote or they don't vote. And obviously in Central Oregon, most of these. I don't remember now if Redmond votes or not. The Bend mayor, I think they vote.
I think I'd like to go on down the road and come back to that point after we've talked about this for a while.
Okay.
And thought about it.
Thank you.
You kind of want to, that's one to come back to. Highlight that, please. We're going to come back to Section 8, whether the mayor votes or only breaks ties. What you guys should just go on the internet and kind of search around.
Sure.
Put out some of them.
The only comment I would make is that if the mayor only votes in a case of a tie, it becomes public record and it shows some kind of, it at least indicates a bit of dissension on the council. And I don't know if that's a negative thing or not. But again, I think it doesn't matter either way, really, as far as
what you'll find is the mayor will vote very, very rarely. Now, when I was mayor, I would usually let them know where I stood on it because I think people wanted to know anyway. But I just never had to. You just say all those in favor, and that's it. You don't ever had to cast your own vote. Okay. What's that now?
I do it all the time.
I did the size of the council too. That we need to 5 or 7. We got into the mayor running, but we did about you can have 5 or 7. I mean, I don't know of any 9.
I would say 5 because we have hard enough time to give you 7.
I really have it's a toss up to me because I no offense, but I think we can hardly get 5 is a cop out. It's a cop out. I don't think we've engaged the city enough, the citizens enough to really say that for true. So I think it's something we really need to talk about.
Well, Stan, I live outside the city limits, and that's all I hear is you guys can't get anybody to go to council.
Well, we got 7 people running this time.
For 3 seats.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's another topic that we have to address, too. Can we have someone on the council that's not inside the city limits? So
we're going to come to that.
Yeah, but I meant maybe this is something we could come back to. Because I don't want to limit it to just 5. If, in fact, we can have seven really qualified people on there bringing their expertise to the council.
So that's section seven.
Now, can we discuss that later, too?
Yep.
Cool. Okay.
We'll come back again later tonight to some of those, and then we can come back another, you know. I thought it was kind of cute. To quorum, you can compel council attendance of council members. Maybe what was interesting on this is Prime Bill has the same language as in our draft. Damascus allows, actually in their charter, that you can attend via telephone. It's in their charter. Now that's the newest one adopted, new technology. No one else has that. So you can put a speakerphone on here and you're in somewhere. They allow that by charter as being in attendance.
I've seen one where the quorum is they can be there via telephone if they've been to the last two meetings.
Okay.
So then they know what's going on if they're going to be there by telephone. I
don't
know if
there's
a charter, but it's a quorum I've seen here.
Would it have to be specified in the charter to do that?
They did. I've never. I don't know. Maybe when they put that together there, they wanted to make sure that that's allowed. You know, that was a big issue. Maybe it was someone on the committee or something. I doubt that it's in any other charters. But that's okay. So don't worry about that. I mean, a little different wording in sisters. They can compel it by a manner provided by ordinance. I guess you can pass an ordinance. Of course, ordinances can change of how you compel them. And in a Culver, they use the word as prescribed in council rules. So don't get too worked up over whether it's a manner provided by council or prescribed in council rules. But, you know, this is the wording of the model charter. Compel attendance of absent members as prescribed by council.
What exactly
rules.
Does that mean?
I think if you have someone that isn't showing up, you can compel them to attend, and eventually, if they don't attend, your council rules would say they could be thrown off.
Right.
And so, sometimes people get elected and never show up.
Question? And we're dealing with 12, right?
Yes.
I'm reading here that the majority of the council members is a quorum to conduct business. But a smaller number, in other words, a smaller number than a quorum, may meet and compel attendance of absent members as prescribed by council rules.
That's correct.
So in other words, two people could on the council could meet.
It could be a quorum.
No. Two people won't be a quorum. But they can compel somebody to come to a meeting?
I think what that's saying is if you, because what can happen, you have to look over 100 years, and you had horses and buggies, but people, how you control the agenda is say, I'm not showing up. And, you know, I don't want to debate a topic, so you just don't show up. And so it's saying is, even if you have less than a quorum, those other people can compel you to attend. The Oregon legislature, one of the games that they play when I lobbied is the Republicans are upset at something the Democrats are bringing. And they all went out to the OSU baseball game.
No
to keep it under a quorum. And so the state police were sent to OSU to pluck the legislators out of the audience and drive them to the Capitol. These are little procedural games that people can play. What this is saying is that if just two of you are willing to meet, you can compel the others to meet. Now, you can, and then if they won't and they haven't been showing up, they can be replaced. I think what it's saying is you got to meet and conduct business. Now, it's not going to say that tomorrow two councilmen decide after coffee, well, I'm going to call a meeting in an hour and two people can. You know, because you have to have public notice on meetings, you have to have an agenda, all those rules still apply.
Yeah, and it does say, as prescribed by council rules.
Yes.
So they can't compel that unless the rules...
Under the council rules, maybe it would say, at any regularly scheduled council meeting.
Or if you have not made X amount of meetings.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
I think that could be spelled out a little clearer.
You guys need to tell me. You've got 300 charters in Oregon, and I'm not going to put in the words. So, because these are very.
Kenneth, would you take it upon yourself to
find the wording that you like out of the 300 charters?
Sure.
You know,
the reason I say this is if I just read this literally, but a smaller number may meet and compel attendance of absent members as prescribed by council rules.
Now they can't conduct business, but they can compel other members to come to conduct business. That's what's
so is this playing in everybody's mind that we have a council that's sitting here and there's only two members? Or there's two members sitting here.
There's no business that can be conducted.
Right, but a couple of they can compel, say, two more members to come to make a quorum. Is that what that's saying?
If there are council rules that are prescribed, and they do it according to those council rules, they can. If the council rules,
you know what? Again, our keeper of the notes down there. Let us, you. Calls Sisters and Culver, and let's get their ordinance in case of Culver, or Sisters, and the council rules in case of Culver. Bring it back to our next meeting and see what do those say, because they're referring back to those rules.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What kind of rules do they have in place? Then we'll know kind of how they operate.
Okay. Okay. Good.
And you remember, see the chart? That's why it's only 9 pages long. The details are somewhere else. So that's important to remember. So this doesn't become like our land use ordinance, 500 pages thick.
Yeah,
but I think let's find out, because I don't know what those look like. Ken, that's a good question. I think it would be neat to see them.
I'm hoping that one of our goals is that we end up with a 10 or 15 page charter that doesn't have to be changed every 10 years.
In fact, also
that's one of our goals.
So why don't you just call all four of these cities and get them?
Okay.
Okay, Patty? And, you know, just so we can... Okay. Ordinances. Yeah, they're all pretty much, they're all the same. What it really is saying is the council may adopt an ordinance at a single meeting by the unanimous approval of at least a quorum of the council. Unanimous. Provided the proposed ordinance is available in writing to the public at least 1 week before. So when it comes to ordinances, if it's unanimous amongst the council and the public's had it for a week in writing ahead of time, then of course you can declare an emergency and do them. Otherwise, it takes two meetings for. And so here's your question: adoption of an ordinance requires approval by a majority of the council at two meetings, unless unanimous approval of a council. One councilman says no, you've got to bring it back to a second meeting. Prineville, I'll just let you read them. Some are shorter, some are a little longer. They just word them a little bit different.
And by the public having a week's notice, is that you publish it in a newspaper, or is it on the website, or how do you do that?
It's, you've got, we have places that it's available every town, because we don't have a daily newspaper, it's all
right.
Different. So whatever our normal system of getting it out there. Where do we post? Patty, how do we post?
We post at ACE in the library and WikiUp Junction. And then as long as we have the agenda ready, that goes in usually the Tuesday edition of the Wise Buys and Frontier, as space allows.
And on our website.
And on our website, yes. And then it gets sent out to a pretty large contact list.
But if you had a city council meeting on a Wednesday, and you had a unanimous vote, and then it wouldn't be published in any of our local newspapers mm-hmm. until the following Tuesday, and so it wouldn't. That's for naught. So you'd have to find it someplace else.
No, it is the library, post offices, okay, right. and the websites.
Usually, it's sent to the paper, so it comes out the Tuesday before the Wednesday meeting. That in fact is the normal council meeting. They would have, but that's not a full week. So.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be careful tying it to the newspapers, because
right.
The newspapers may not be around. Remember,
right?
This is forever. Yeah. Newspapers are in decline. We are moving to internet-based notices in a store, maybe. And very few people use the white, like the nickel ads as their basis for
information.
Yeah, well, you do it here because they're here, but when you look longer and bigger, and all it takes is one council person. This is the hardest part about this is you have one council person just has to say, you know what, I think we need to, I always want two votes. In other words, I may support what I'm voting on, but I'm going to vote against it once to cause it to come back. This, you know, gives the ability of that council person to do it. And I know a councilman that will do that. They just say, I don't want to ever vote on it in one meeting,
right,
and I'm going to vote against it the first time, even if it's my idea. You can declare an emergency also, but... okay. If you guys want any wording changes on any of these, you need to kind of... Yeah, that's technical, so you need to kind of think of them and then email them and get them to us. Effective date, 30 days after approval is when they become effective under the model charter. With emergency clause, they become effective sooner. And this is, again, pretty common. There's Prineville. Culver words it just a little bit different. They all allow it in the case of an emergency be adopted soon.
What constitutes an emergency?
Oh, nothing. You just declare an emergency.
By the mayor or?
No, it's just what's in the ordinance. It's part of the ordinance. It's the emergency clause is used all the time. It has nothing to do with a real emergency.
Okay. Just need to get done.
Yes. Now, the reason it's there is you could have an emergency. There's no definition of an emergency. Again, because this is your constitution. To one person, we need the dog ordinance adopted because we had a kid bit in the park. Mm-hmm. Is that an emergency? Or, you know, it's, so if you declare it an emergency, it just takes effect the next day. Otherwise, it's 30 days. And so often when they do ordinances, you'll see the emergency clause. And that gets some people riled up, you know, to where they can't hardly speak. The reality is it's already been adopted. You're just debating, does it take effect tomorrow or wait through? It's not that it's not going to take effect. It's just 30 days or so. I think for a charter, you want that because you could have an emergency.
Yes.
We could meet and decide you need something adopted. This could be 25 years from now. None of us are involved in this process. Mm-hmm. Something comes up. There's a flood. There's something. You're going to pass some ordinance that bans something, and it needs to take effect in 10 minutes. So really, it's prudence on the part of those we elect to know what's an emergency and is it appropriate. And you'll see all those cities do have the emergency clause. Nothing, administrative authority, you can read through that. Adele, do you want a book to follow along? Here. This gets into the resolutions. Resolutions are kind of worded the same. They are just you don't have to publish them quite the same, and they have less legal authority, easier. You could delegate it. If you remember earlier in the discussion, you could delegate passing a resolution. I'm assuming that you could give it to a planning commission or something. I don't really foresee that happening too much. And under the date you take effect, you set the date you want it to take effect, or it takes effect on the date of approval. So that's just part of the resolution. Do you want it to just take effect in a week or a month or tomorrow? So nothing jumped out at me there that was, you know, legal minds say that's how it ought to be worded.
Questions on resolutions? Need any more time? Are we ready for quasi-judicial authority?
Okay, there's quasi. It's kind of not too different. It's almost words like the last one.
And what's an example of a quasi-judicial?
Would be land use decisions generally. Say the BioGreen decision gets appealed, it'll come to the city council, and they are operating in a quasi-judicial. They're kind of like a court. When we're administrative, the difference of, legislative is, an example, in legislative, we can be lobbied. Can voice your opinions. 10 people can go up and tell you how you ought to vote. I can talk to anybody I want. I don't have to declare it. That's like a politician. That's your political side when you're doing it on the legislative side. When you get into quasi, in fact, if BioGreen called you the day before and talked to you about voting yes or no, you actually have to declare that before you vote that they have contacted me, because you're acting like a judge more so. And so it's a much more of an official thing. I don't know if Lapine's had to do that yet. We will be doing it with BioGreen, is my guess. So we'll all learn that together. And right now, of course, we operate under the state law. But ex parte contact, all that kind of stuff. So land use is about the only place it seems like you could do it with an appeal on a nuisance ordinance. Somebody appealed. You went out and said that that's going to get kind of land use-y. They got 3 junk trailers. Four pit bulls and 4 outhouses on their lot, and you know, they get cited, and then they appeal it. The first place they appeal would be to the city council, and so you're going to operate as quasi-judicial. Okay, elections. Now, part of this gets fuzzy that we will come to at the end of this. This all changes and hinges on this whole discussion of, and because it's not in the template charter, I just have a whole bunch of issues that if we're going to allow someone from outside the city, what all that kind of affects. It has a lot of effect in here. So if you can, set that aside in your brain, pretend like for this part of this discussion that we're not going to have anyone from outside. Because otherwise we're going to be all over the board. And I think it's tough. Or we can try to incorporate that, but I think for the minutes and keeping track could get difficult. What you're going to find, when you go outside the city, it affects lots of things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but just, you know, understand that. The term of a councilor in office, when the charter is adopted, is the term of which the councilor was elected. That's kind of just that first-time deal. At each general election after the adoption, 3 councilors, again, if we only have 5, that would be 2 probably. Because you have 2, every 2 years you have 2 and then the mayor. So this is set up from the template, which was set a council of 7. So they're elected to 2 or 4 year terms. The mayor elected to 2 or 4 year terms. And then this kind of no-brainer, but again, I wanted you to be able to say, do you want the elections to be nonpartisan? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, you're just nonpartisan. So, we'll get into this. 3 councilors, again, if we have 5, that would be 2, insert 2 there, will be elected for 4-year terms. They elect them for 4-year terms. Now, in Damascus, they are assigned a number. but you don't run, they're assigned a number, but they don't run by districts. In other words, you don't have your area. And I'm going to have to go back and look, because I don't know if it's a head-to-head race. I was thinking it's not. It's like we do here, where it's the top three. But when they assign a number, you usually think it's a head-to-head race, you know. And that's a big difference. When you get see, like right now, where you've got these six people running, they're all running against each other. And the top three vote-getters get elected. When you go by districts, you pick who you run against. And what happens usually is the incumbent that is the most powerful has very little competition, and the open seats have lots of interest. But it's also how you can take out someone. If you just say, you know, when you get into this at-large thing, it gets kind of split up. You want to be able to run against this person. I want to run against it. It makes it a little more personal. Yeah, when someone runs head-to-head. You know,
it's like our county commissioners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You pick who you run against. And they do this kind of here, what mm-hmm. that you guys are doing, I believe. I think this is true. Again, forget the three, it's two, but do you do it to where one person, the lowest person gets 2-year term?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of what Sisters is doing. So, mm-hmm. And that way you always have three. You have a majority every 2 years. That's the reason you have five. And this would be how, if we do five, that's how you would be. We tabled the 5 or 7 issue because they're going to do some more research and thoughts on that. But if we are at five, you're going to do like we do now, probably. If we keep it without an outside person, we'll get to why that complicates things when you mm-hmm. do an outside person, because that immediately throws this. So that's why it's complicated. But we will do it like Sisters if we do five and don't have an outside person. So I would assume that's how you'd want it. Unless you want to go to the head-to-head route. And, you know, you could have it where every 2 years there's three, and the next 2 years there's two. You know, 1 year there's a majority, 1 year there isn't. You know, you can make the mayor a 4-year term instead of a 2-year term. So, you know, next meeting we'll start narrowing these down. And you can see the norm is councilors are elected to 4-year terms, and then the mayor tends to run every 2 years, and then that breaks them up. That's kind of how it works. If you have 6 councilmen, 3 are running each time, and the mayor gets a 2-year term. Anyone had a mayor with a 4-year term. All the mayors were 2-year terms. Thoughts and discussion on this? And maybe you don't even want to until we get to the full, you can kind of get through it all because it's got so many variables.
Are there any limitations on terms in any of these?
None. However, I mean, you could put term limits to send me off to the governor's 2 terms. You could put in your charter that nobody can serve more than 2 full terms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any cities out of the 200 and whatever that have that. I have no idea.
There's probably no reason for us to then.
Yeah.
I would probably favor a 4-year term, just, you know, for the citizens to get the value out of the effort they put into the election, to bring somebody to manage the council. After 4 years, they get a good look at what's gone past.
Okay. The mayor. You guys agreed that you wanted the mayor elected earlier in our discussion. They're elected to a 4-year term. In the model charter, it's 4-year. Mm-hmm. Most are 2-year. Okay. So,
why is that?
Wait, why did they say that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's a couple places I would ask. I would call them and say, why in your model charter do you have that? But you'll notice nobody seemed to bite on it. you know, maybe they just say they want the consistency of 4 years of a mayor. Maybe these are larger cities. Portland's mayor is a four-year term.
What do you think? Four or two? Four.
You have to think about that. Because 2 years, they don't just get started, and then they got to get somebody else.
How about you?
I'd say two.
Two? Four?
I'm like you, I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they'll have more experience if they have the 4 years, yes. But the 2 years.
Okay, so we'll come back to that.
Would you bring some arguments for two?
Well, no, I would rather see them stay for four, personally.
Yeah.
Because they just get in.
Oh, no, you
wanted
four. Would you bring some arguments for two? And maybe you bring some arguments for four.
Okay. Are you going to ask Linda?
Well, I come from a town where they were always elected for 4 years. And some years there'd be no one running. So the mayor just would stay on. I mean, be reelected. They had no opponents. I guess if you're doing a good job, you don't have to worry about them.
I think the reason they went this route is you have that, you have a majority of the council elected every 2 years. And you got to break one of them up into a 2-year term. If everyone else is going to have 4-year terms, don't matter if you're having 5 or 7 total in your council. What you really have is 4 councilmen or 6. It's an even number. So you have, let's just take 5. So that's 2 run. They have a 4-year term. The mayor runs, gets a 2. So you get a majority every 2 years. Then 2 years later, the other 2 on the council have to run. And the mayor runs. And these other 2 that got elected 2 years earlier, they got a 4-year term, so they're out another 2 years. So it's leapfrogging mm-hmm. to where you always have a majority running every 2 years. And to do that, you got to have one of them run less than 4 years. Or you're going to have a situation where in one election you'll have 3 running, the next election you'll have 2. Now, county commissions do it that way because you'll have 2 commissioners in 1 year, and then 2 years later you have 1. So every 4 years you get the majority type thing going. This year, Tony DeBone is the only one running, right?
No, he's got someone running against him.
Oh, no, running against him, but
that his position.
But nobody's running against him.
In other words, okay, that's right. There was 2 this time.
Yeah.
Next time, Alan Unger will be running alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's the differences. There's no right or wrong with that. This stuff. That's what's neat. It's what do you want to make Lapine, Oregon? It's your city, and what do you think the voters will want? And it's going to be with you a long time.
Maybe we should ask one of these cities that voted for the 2-year term for the mayor if they like it.
Well, we can ask them. You could call them. Our mayor was 2 years. It was fine. I think that the people don't... The 4 years, they just... The mayor, because they're running the show more and they have more power, they kind of like to... Usually a person's also served on the council.
Prior to that.
Yeah, it's not required, but just tends to. You serve a term on the council... And then we'll go. And the other thing is sometimes people don't want to, 4 years such a commitment to be mayor. Because it's a lot of ribbon cutting. It's a lot more being down at City Hall. And 4 years is a bigger commitment, I think, for time. So, again, these are our 4. You got 300 or 250 to look at. And you saw what these 4 are. There is no right or wrong. So we'll come back to some of that. Nonpartisan. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, do we have anybody who wants partisan? Do we all want nonpartisan?
Yes.
So that's a non-issue.
All right. Well, there. Sisters and Colbert even have it in the charter.
Yeah.
Okay, qualifications. The mayor and each councilor must be a qualified elector under Oregon state law and reside within the city for at least 1 year immediately before an election or appointment. Got to live in the jurisdiction for a year. No person may be a candidate at a single election for more than one city office. You can't run for 2 positions. Neither the mayor nor a councilor may be employed by the city. As you know, you had Luana was on the council, quit to work for you, but that's just something to see. The council is the final judge of its elections and qualifications, so if there's a discrepancy in something, and at the end of the day, I guess the council gets to decide. If you have a hanging chad, it comes here, and then someone could appeal that to somewhere. We had adopted an ordinance prescribing the manner to be nominated. That is, do you need 10 signatures, 7 signatures? Do you need 10 signatures? You can pay $10 in lieu of it. Those would be rules that we would adopt. And, Patty, why don't you, when you're calling those places, find out what rules, when we see which ones have it that way, find out what their rules are, just so we can get a copy of, for nominating, you know. Right now, I think you have to get 7 signatures in Lapine. Was it 7 or 8?
6.
And was there a way to pay in lieu of that? Yeah, a lot of cities you can pay $25.
Actually, no, because we were supposed to have established an ordinance for that or resolution, but we never did. So.
But they can.
But yes.
Yeah, under okay. Nomination part of the charter or an ordinance, you know, that kind of. Do you want to do this? When you look. Sisters is an old, I think the Sisters has it in here because it's an older charter. And I can tell what's happening. The newer charters are getting thinner and not trying to clutter them as much. That would be the generic statement. The older charters are thicker. And Sisters and Culver have an older charter than Prineville. Prineville's updated theirs and, of course, Damascus. So, the Mariners Council must be a qualified elector, live within the city for 1 year. Before election or appointment. I believe these are all pretty much. They were at once okay. The older ones say resided in the city during the preceding 12 months. You can see what happened. When they did their charters or updated, that was the wording of the day. And now they're saying it a little bit differently. At the end of the day, they say the same thing. 1 year.
Any comments? To the contrary?
Okay. Do you think you're... Yeah. Again, you could take it out. You may say, I don't want to address it. But the newer ones are addressing it. So maybe it came up somewhere. So you'll start to see that trend I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The old charters compared to the new.
Any comments to the contrary?
Do you want it in the charter?
Yes.
By ordinance... we would come up with rules on how you're nominated.
Yep.
So what in the Damascus just simply refers to a ordinance how you do it, and the other just left it out, so which means it is by some other rule. So the league must have changed it to where it wanted to say we're going to do it by ordinance. Okay. And the older charters, not sure why Prangle just didn't like this.
Reason we wanted in.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. B2, okay. Vacancies. Obviously, if you die, you can leave. Recall, you know, it's important that that's there. absence from the city, that's the this 30 days. This, you might have some discussion on it because you've got snowbirds here. And you want, how many snowbirds do you want on the council for how long? Absence from the city for 30 days without council consent. Now, some councils... That could be fun, asking if you could leave for 30 days. Or 60 days from meetings, or ceasing to reside in the city. What if you're elected, then you move out? Sometimes this gets into, do I get to finish my term? You know, because when I was elected, the rule is I reside in the city when I'm elected. But what if I move out? So, we'll see what they tell us.
I was going to say, most cities, if you move out of city limits, then you're out. Mm-hmm. You're just out.
Yep.
Okay.
How about this one?
Absence of city, they say.
Wow.
Well, they're all the same?
They're all the same. Then I'm kind of surprised about the former, but the latter, I guess I could see.
I don't know about that 60-day period. That is a long time. from all council meetings.
That's 2 months. You may say that's 2 months of meetings.
Yeah.
Well, you could be sick and miss a couple months.
I agree.
Yeah. I would think that it would be up to the city council to make the decision. I mean, if it comes up that somebody's going to be in the hospital for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
the city council ought to have the opportunity to say, well, we understand this situation and, you know, it's okay. But maybe then you set a 90-day on it, because after that to become
distant,
out of mm-hmm. touch.
Is there more words with this in the charter? Because
you know, I just do the little abbreviation. I was trying to see, is there some other spot here that might help us? Section 31.
Yeah.
Well, that first part of that is I can't see how that, I mean, 30 days... That doesn't say 30 contiguous days. It says 30 days. 30 days during
without
the year.
Without council yeah. consent.
Yeah.
And maybe we ought to add that to from all council meetings within a 60-day period without council consent.
Yeah. I would think the council meetings are what we care about, not whether or not they're coming and going.
Right. And the council then could say, okay, well, Ken can't make it for... 65 days.
I'm in Mexico for 70 days, you know.
Well, you better be on a conference call, Ben.
There you go. I get solved by conference calls.
It's going to cost you.
Now, that would be impacted by that.
It would make it easier to attend.
Well, I mean, would it have to have a definition in there somewhere where it says that... a council attendance by communications, telephone communications constitutes a council meeting, attending?
With approval of the council?
Well, I mean, that wouldn't even come into effect. If you were away and you called in on the telephone and you participated by telephone, you would, in effect, be attending the meeting. I talked about
this is saying you're just absent from the city, but doesn't maybe you don't even have a meeting to attend.
Yeah.
It's kind of strict to a degree, but
and I don't. It says from all council meetings within a 60-day period. Actually, it was saying you can't miss a council meeting. What's the 60-day period have to do with it?
What it's saying is, absent from the city for 30 days without council consent, which means you just have to be gone. If you've gone more than 30 days, and I think it's saying in a row, it's not saying take a day here, day here. It's saying you're gone for a month. Anything beyond that, they could declare it vacant. That, I think, is this idea that they don't want people going south for the winter and not being there. Then it's saying... if you're missing from all council meetings in 60 days, so maybe you have 3 council meetings a month, and you came to one, they're saying that counts. Because it's saying is, if you don't attend one meeting, you're in town, but you for 2 months have to come to one meeting. But if you come to one, that doesn't apply. I mean, normally, I've never seen anyone removed from these, really. I mean, they'd have to move, they have to be blatant.
So this really is just put in there to give the council the authority to remove somebody if they really feel they need to.
Yeah, it becomes vacant if you don't. And what surprises me is that all those cities have that.
Why don't they put after that within a 60-day period without council consent?
I don't know.
This one
well,
I
might,
said.
Because there's a comma after.
Oh, well, and it could. You know what? You need to be looking at your deal.
Okay. I'm looking at the wrong one.
But it may be this one. This is Staten, so...
Dayton says so.
Or Staten. Yeah, Staten says it.
And, you know, since all four of them have it, we know the two charters are older, this is an old law. Because they haven't changed. The older charters have it, and the new charters have it. Because they're all four alike.
Yeah.
So that's odd. This is an older rule. That's been around. So which means be more careful as we change it so we don't go somewhere we shouldn't.
Yeah.
You could maybe put without council consent, I think that would be
I think we just added without council consent following that 60-day period.
Mm-hmm. You want the 60-day thing.
There's a comma there anyway.
You want the...
Yeah, it might be in there too.
No, but it's a period in here.
Yeah.
Would you like it to, you could add, absent from the city for 30 days, or from all council meetings within a 60-day period, without council consent. We can just move without council consent.
Yeah, let's do that. That's how it's written in this one that I have.
You got that, Patty? Because, see, I'm going to have to take your minutes, because I can't type on my computer and do all this at the same time, because this is on here. So we will move that council consent to the end.
Okay.
Is that?
Yep.
Mr. President, Chairman?
Yes.
All righty.
We like it.
Good. Ceasing to reside in the city. Now, again, if we have one position, you don't have to live in the city, so then it would be the other four positions can't move out. I mean, I'm assuming that you don't want four councilmen outside the city. So you're going to have to, but for the sake of this, if they all live in the city, I'm assuming you want them all to be in the city. If we have a position that's outside the city, the others have to, they have to stay like they were elected. Is that?
Right.
Okay, so you're okay with this then. This is a good one. And this you're going to find interesting. City managers, and I was just having that discussion with the councilman today about residency for a topic we were discussing. This is probably one of the more, can be an emotional issue. And it's in the charter, so you got to be careful how you do it because you can't change it. You get, so... The rest of the things on there I thought were pretty generic. The council gets to remove the manager, obviously, that they work for the council. They can be removed anytime you hire them. So, city manager need not reside in the city, according to this. Prime Bill says you need to reside in the city unless the council votes otherwise. So if they have a candidate they want to hire and they say, you know, we don't want to lock up to where they, but they're sending a pretty strong signal. We want you to live in the city. But, you know, we want at least a way not to. Now, bigger city there. City of Damascus. It's a little weird they say this at the time of appointment. I thought, well, that means, does that mean I got to move in?
Then
move
out.
Then I can move out.
Yep.
But that's also a metropolitan area a little bit, suburb of Portland. Now, Sisters took the school district boundary. What they're saying is, we understand you can't live in the city, but the school district of Sisters goes up to Camp Sherman, goes to Cloverdale, so they're basically saying, I want you within a radius.
That's right. A good one.
Now, so you could, as you're thinking, you could say Ben Lapine School District, because that covers Bend, but not Redmond, Sisters, Matters, or Prineville. So we're long. You could say a 15-mile radius if you wanted to be able to live in Sun River, maybe. Or you do the Prineville route, Culver, and their manager is a recorder. There's no requirements.
Do you have any thoughts?
I like the City of Sisters.
Pardon me?
I like the City of Sisters. Because if they live within the area, then they have more of an interest in our area.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I like the school district.
Which is what you're saying?
Yes.
I think this is where it really comes into play, this thing about, you know, we can't get enough people to run.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the whole thing around having had and not had a city manager. We have currently a city manager that's going to be with us for quite a while that lives outside the city. And I think by saying we live within an area, it has to live within an area, we really limit ourselves to a qualified person. Maybe we're maybe you say in Central Oregon or something, but I hesitate to put it into an area where we just don't get anybody that apply to be a city manager, and then we got to do something to go outside the city.
Now, Now, the other thing, especially if you don't know if you're going to have a part-time city manager, it's hard if you're going to have a part-time city manager to make them move, because that's hard.
Yeah.
And you're a smaller city. It's probably why Culver doesn't address it. So since we don't know kind of where that ends up, and then remember, when this is adopted, it's there forever. Mm-hmm. Now, Prime Bills gives you the ultimate. The council can want them to live in, but could... But, Bobby, the council could vote to do otherwise. If you go down the school district route, council does not have the authority.
What's your thought?
I don't want to limit our possibilities, but I don't...
I like that statement. I like that statement. You know what? I like it the way it's written, and for both sides, I think both sides are protected. First of all, you don't want to limit who's running your city to somebody who's living in. I wouldn't want to limit it to that. And I think that the majority of the council must appoint and may remove the manager. I think the council's going to appoint this guy or woman or man as it is, and they can choose. If they choose they want somebody living in the city at the time, they can do that. But this doesn't limit it.
When you do the job announcement, you can decide, you know, residents live in the community for 1 year. A lot of them will say, we'll give you a year or two. Right now, people can't sell houses. That's the biggest reason
right.
people aren't taking jobs.
That's right.
You cannot sell a house where you are, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult for someone to move. And so, you know...
That very thing speaks to not restricting the council to have options.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put it in there, you're locked.
And that's probably why the template is that way. You do not need to hire someone that doesn't live here if you don't want it.
Yeah.
But it also, 20 years from now, doesn't mean you can't.
If you're qualified.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. The council will set, you can make them have a master's degree, you can make them have a PhD, mm-hmm. as you're hiring, whatever job announcements you're doing.
We will come back to that.
Okay.
And let you think about it.
Good. Kind of says what the manager needs to do, attend all council meetings unless excused by the mayor or council. That the
Bob, do you think we can have a break?
Let's have a break.
That's a good one.
33 as written is fine. We don't need to come back to that.
All right, so section 33 is...
So I think we're somewhere in the city manager.
Okay, we're...
thank you, Ken.
This... the Office of the City Attorney is established as the chief legal office of the city government. A majority of the council must appoint and may remove the attorney. The attorney must appoint, supervise, and may remove any office employees. There's the question, but once you see what it is, you know, right now you're sitting there thinking, wait a second. When I first read this, I thought, now wait a second. Why is the attorney doing the hiring and firing in the office?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking. And... you can see how well that went over. It would appear that the cities in Oregon don't agree with the League of Oregon Cities, that the attorneys aren't going to be firing anybody in the office. Is there people here who would like to have that done by the attorney?
Nope.
Vicki and Adele? You know, actually, what I think it is, it's if you had a big enough where the attorney worked for you and he had his own staff.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
they're saying is kind of like you'd have your own secretary as the attorney and you're dealing, say, in a big city.
Yeah.
I think that's what it means.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense otherwise. So, do you guys want to strike?
Strike it.
34?
Strike it.
Strike it.
Anybody against striking it?
Silence is acceptance.
I'm not against it.
I'm not against it.
Okay.
Okay. Municipal courts, and the real thing comes at the bottom, is we don't have a municipal court, and what I've noticed is most of them, actually a lot of them don't, but they put it in because this gives you the law and the rules to do it, but the very end one's going to tell you, you can operate it or not. So what I noticed is they all put it in so that it's there if you ever want to run a municipal court. And what it says is the council may transfer some or all the functions of municipal court to an appropriate state court. And I believe they all had that, basically. They did, you'll notice the old was in municipal court to an appropriate state, county, or justice court. The newer ones are saying to an appropriate state court, Prineville and Damascus, and then Culver's municipal court to an appropriate state court. Not sure if that's a verbiage change of the times of the day. They're all saying that they can run it if they want or they can transfer it. And right now we, of course, we're not operating. So
anybody not want to keep that verbiage?
Okay. This is bizarre. I thought that this is in the charter. This is when I asked the league sometime when. Merit systems. A council by resolution will determine the rules governing recruitment, selection, promotion, transfer, demotion, suspension, layoff, and dismissal of city employees based on merit and fitness. So there's your question.
I'm not too sure that's even legal.
Well, let's see what people did. Prineville, the council must authorize the compensation of city officers and employees as part of this approved budget. Damascus said, we're not going there. Sister said, we're not there. And Culver said, we're not there. I think the difficulty is that it's binding you in a charter how you're going to give raises, how you're going to lay people off, how you're going to promote people.
I don't think it's legal.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't have a merit system per se. What is a merit system? I mean, teachers unions fight that all the time as a merit system. So I'm assuming that Damascus them said, we may have a merit system, but that doesn't really need to be in our charter.
Right.
How we give raises or how we lay people off doesn't need to be in the charter. It is unmuck it.
Okay.
But I am going to ask the league sometime why that's in there.
Going to what?
I'd like to ask League of Oregon Cities how come that's there.
Before we confirm that.
No, that's just my own knowledge wants. It seems odd to me that.
Is there anybody who doesn't want to strike it? Let's strike it.
Okay.
37, we're going to strike.
It's out.
The merit systems.
Yep.
This is on kind of normal, not much here. Oh, this is the end. Then we get into your out of towner, so you want to spend some time on. It's basically, when do you want the charge to take effect? I put in July 1st. Some of them were adoption, that means the next day. Some were 30 days after passage. I thought we're going to have it late May, and I thought July 1st, it's a budget year, that's probably a clean time to do it based on when we're voting.
But isn't everything else July 1st?
Well, the budget's July 1st.
We
happen to be putting this on in May. You could put it in the November ballot, so you say January 1st. I mean, remember, they don't know when you're putting up for a vote, so we get to pick the date we want it to be, and since we were May, I just thought make it July.
Okay.
Rather than June.
Doing it earlier doesn't get us any extra money, does it?
No. Because we're a city now. We operate in a state law. So just keep it. Go ahead and do it July 1st as the date that would take effect. Okay. So that would be the date you guys agree to. Now, these are kind of the things, and you guys will come up some that I thought, well, we need to answer these, because then I have to go back, and some cases we'll have to have our legal team help draw up the wording. There is no city in Oregon that has outside councilmen, so there's no template, there's no nothing that you can follow, so we'll have to kind of create it. We can do it, because you'll notice paragraphs are short and small, so it's not, but we'll have to work our way. So how many non-resident council positions do you want? If you have a five-person council, do you want one? If you have a seven-person council, do you want one or two? I mean, you could say all of them could be, because you're writing this. Now remember, you do have to get it approved by the voters, and the voters only get to vote that live in the city.
Okay.
And the poll results on that were...
Should the councilor be required to live in the city? 34 yes, 36 no.
Of
city residents, 9 to 5. Is this city residents?
Yeah, the red, yeah.
Yeah. 9 yay and 5 nay.
And then of the county ones was...
The county ones are 25 yay, 31 nay.
Interesting to me in that was that you, together, you were within a couple votes, so it was basically kind of a tie. City residents, almost 2 to 1 said, you need to live in the city, and that's who's going to vote. But I thought, interestingly, as many county non-city residents said, you should have to live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just because they're accustomed to that, and they think that. But this is one that can trip you up, because we need this to get approved. All the people out of town who want you to have councilmen from out of town, not one of them will be voting on this, because they don't live in the city. So you've got to convince city residents, who in this unscientific thing said almost 2 to 1, we don't agree with that. Now that doesn't mean you can't educate them, and it doesn't mean that this is scientific. It doesn't mean anything other than whoever showed up at that booth, and that's how they answered the question. So...
I think one of the things we have to consider is where are we going to be in 10 or 20 years? And I'm assuming the city's going to expand, and as it expands, there will be more and more residents. And I don't know, I'm not suggesting that I would say yes or no to it, but that certainly would be 20 years from now. You're gonna have a much larger geographic city.
Maybe. Or more populous, because the UVG will be set
for density and all that.
Yeah.
So we don't think we will expand geographically.
No.
Not.
Oh.
Well.
Shame on Bob.
No. It's just that was part of the comprehensive plan.
The planning consultant's opinion.
Yeah, and we had enough space and everything in the city as it is to accommodate growth over the next 20 years.
Okay.
But
strike that.
But still, the fact is you speak well to it, because we can, you know, if the Polish neighborhood of Crescent Creek down here starts growing, we're going to have all of that. 1,400 homes, mm-hmm. and other places where there's still plenty of building to go. So you'd have a larger populace, and the big consideration for me will always be is, you know, they're the taxpayers. You know?
What if we said may? One council position may live outside of the city limits.
I live outside the city. I own property in the city. I personally think they should not, if you live outside the city, you shouldn't be able to vote on the city. You could be on the council, give your opinion and everything, but not be allowed to vote.
Well, you know, why don't we, before we discuss this...
Now, what did you just say?
She said she doesn't believe that non-resident should be a council member.
A voting councilman. They can be a council person, give their opinion, you know, come in and, you know, let everybody know how the outside feels about the city. But I don't think they should be able to vote.
Remember, we can do anything we want. That would be interesting. So they're one of the five or seven. They get to voice their opinion, but then when you vote, they don't vote.
That's more of an advisory position.
Let me offer this. My feelings was, if we're going to go there, that we have one member that's from outside the city, but must own property within the city.
For a business.
or a business, well, they're paying property taxes is where they're legally saying
you're not paying those taxes.
But if you own property within the city, you
should
are paying the taxes. So you're asking for representation for your taxes. And that position can also be run by a person that lives within the city. In other words, somehow you'll have one slot that a business person can run for.
Mm-hmm. Property owner.
Yeah, a property owner that pays taxes. Mm-hmm. And somebody can run against that person who lives within the city.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe what we should do is let me go through these bullet points.
Okay.
And give 30 seconds on each. Because all of these cross, and okay. I think that, is that okay, Mr. President?
Yes.
Chairman.
You went up
to the first one's easy. You know, how many of these do you want? You know, you'd be able to pick. Position numbers. We would have to, once we do this, we'd have to position number them because you right now you're doing it generically at large. Since you may have three people from out of town who all want to run. They got to run for that position.
Right.
So we would then go through a number 1 through 5 or 1 through 7. And so you would have to probably give position numbers. Now, would you then make the rest of them running head-to-head? Because those ones are going to run head-to-head.
Yes.
In other words,
yes.
Then do the other four, do we want them all running head-to-head? We know the mayor's going to run head-to-head because you want that. That leaves the other three. Is that an at-large situation? And then you've got one person at large would run in 1 2-year cycle, and then the next 2-year cycle you'd have two, because really out of the five, two are specific. You're running for mayor head to head. I'm an outsider running head to head. I could be a city resident, as you mentioned, and run for that, maybe, or you could say you couldn't. But so look at that. Can they be mayor if you, in fact, you're appointing the mayor from the council, which you kind of said no. You want to run for mayor. I'm assuming in this case is that position, mayor is going to be living in the city.
Yes.
Does the out-of-city member vote on regular business, which you were kind of going, non-economic issues, all issues, or advisory only? How long is the term of the non-resident position? Now, if you're only going to have one on the council, do you want that to rotate every 2 years so that since there's just one rather than four or five, do you want that to rotate more? Qualifications. Mm-hmm. A resident of Deschutes County, resident within a 10-mile, I just picked these, a radius of Lapine, a resident of the state of Oregon, resident of the Bend Lapine School District, resident within the boundary selected, whatever boundary selected. Do you want to make sure they had to live there a year before, like we said, councilman? They had to live out in that area. How about being a taxpayer is a requirement in the city of Lapine? And that must be a qualified elector. That's kind of generic. And we'll come back to all these. Can a resident run for a non-resident position? Then if you have a vacancy, and it was the non-resident position, and that person is a non-resident, do you have to fill it with a non-resident? We might be able to get that in our rules of how we fill vacancies, not put that in the charter.
Right.
This is all in charter territory. Petition signatures required. If you're a non-resident, do you have to get city residents to sign your petition like you do now? Or do you let people out in the county sign it based on the boundary that you've selected that you're eligible from? Who gets to decide who this person is? So, you know, they live now. What if a non-resident moves or sells, or if the property is sold? Because right now we're saying if you move out, you have to. But if I sell my house, if I sell my business, do I then lose my right and I have to leave the council? Those are the ones that I thought of that you need to think through. And so.
Is this in the package somewhere?
Are you going to send that to us?
Oh, it's right. Well, it's in mine. It's right
in.
It's in this part.
I was looking at the first one.
Oh, I haven't got one page of it on here, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, see, we'd have to go back and try to change things and figure out where to do it if that's the path you want to go on. And that's not one you want to pick tonight. I think you need to talk about it, and then that's when we come back and spend some time, because it affects so many areas.
Right.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to really focus on these few pages here. The others, I think.
Patty, could we make copies of?
Come to consensus fairly quickly.
So if we can send them home with these two. We just got one page. We're just missing a page.
Okay.
Because I took it from the original, so I'm not sure.
I don't care where it came from. It's just, okay, could we make copies?
Or
we can email it.
Just email it to us.
Okay.
There,
just
okay. Mm-hmm. So why don't you spend a few minutes? We got 10 more minutes. This is your time. Start yakking at you, Ruth. There's 7 of you.
Well, I think I'm going to keep in my mind that, you know, it was 9 to 5 in the city who, because that's how that linked, we're leaning. And if you just extrapolate that a little bit, we're going to have to sell that to that 9 to 5.
I'm sorry, Ken.
I'm sorry. I was saying that I'm going to keep in mind that should a counselor be required to live in the city, the city residents said 9 to 5 yes. And that's going to be a very strong...
That's such a small number that you have to be careful, because...
I still go to the thing about, we represent the taxpayers. We're the only city even considering this in the state. But I am not adverse to somebody owning a business,
right,
and owning land in the city. Granted, it's going to come up with a bunch of rules that we have to adhere to every once in a while.
The other issue with the taxpayers, I've thought that through, and I'm just doing it so you can see it, most, or a good share. People own businesses and property a lot of ways. LLCs. An LLC is not a person. An LLC is a corporation.
Right.
So any business, like I can guarantee you the motel down there, their biggest property taxpayer in the city commercially maybe, Rich Brighty, that is an LLC, I can guarantee you. So Rick, there could be 10 owners or 5 or 1. If you say you must be a taxpayer, Rich Brighty is at he is not a taxpayer. The LLC is a taxpayer.
Now, you don't have to sell it to me.
Well, let me keep going on it. So then if the husband and wife, is it in the wife's name, the husband's name, a trust, a living trust of someone. So my brain starts to say, if we go this route, it's just got to be a resident of the area that you select.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you have to take out, do they own land? Because we own land in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. How would we sit down here when they come down to put in a petition and we're trying to check out, are you a taxpayer?
Can we say they work or own a business within the city limits?
But it's owning the business. The corporation owns the business.
Yeah.
See, there could be 100 stockholders. If it's Nike, it's owned by a board of directors and stockholders. Who owns Nike?
Well, who's going to own this big...
So,
we don't have that kind of big businesses here to worry about that.
Well, we've got mid-state.
Well, that's true.
Yep.
But the thing is, for me, I live outside the city limits, and I can tell you right now, if I had my neighbor that lived here is telling me how to pay my taxes and run the city, I'd be upset. So I don't think you need a councilman outside the city.
I also think that we need to look at the ways that we can make there's a great number of people that want to be involved.
Yes.
And it's all valid. I understand. And you see them, You see most of those people at the meetings all the time, or a lot of those people at the same meetings. There has to be a way that we can enfranchise them, and I'm guarded here, without them being on the city council.
There has to be a
commitment that we see you wanting to participate and you are part of our strength and all of that, and we will have committees or we will have ways, and we write those up of how it's going to be.
I think
without them being on the city council.
I think this advisory board thing is, we can structure.
Well, all of our boards and commissions, to my knowledge, all allow a certain number of people, including our planning commission. So when you think about it, they're setting the ordinances and rules. Every board other than the city council is the only place that outside residents aren't involved, can't be involved under our current, the way we've been operating.
And I think that serves, I think it serves everybody well.
No way. I think that how much of our tax, 47% of the taxes, is that the, or is it 52? It's somewhere up there, are businesses that pay taxes to the city. I just think that a business person should be part of the council.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, as far as that, it can be worked out. But I think it's been very enlightening to hear the city manager's comments about, wow, is this going to be a job to identify who is really a business owner?
And not only that, but look at all your other cities with all those businesses. None of them are on councils if they're not in the city.
Okay, I'm going to cut this off. We could discuss this for the rest of the
day.
We're
going to
take homework, but we still have
our calendar.
We need to
pick when we're going to meet again.
We need to do a calendar, and then we need to get some public comment.
We'll have public comment at the end. When do we want to meet again? It can be she's got the schedule down. We got a ton of meetings with planning commissions. Are any of you on the planning commission?
I am not.
So, if we have to, the planning commission's got so many meetings at some point we're duplicating, but...
What?
There is one member, Patrice Rousseau, I think is her name. She could never make a Wednesday meeting. She's got a prior commitment.
What is good for you?
Oh, I'm open anytime.
Tomorrow night?
Our staff is flexible.
Is there any nights that are bad for anybody? Like
just
Patrice?
The first Monday for me. I have a meeting on that night.
I would like to get together. Is a couple weeks from now out of order? If we could meet a couple times by the 1st of November, I think it'd be nice. I didn't bring a calendar with me, so.
Well,
I won't be available.
We're racing a meeting at the end of September, so I don't know that we're going to get two more meetings in the next 4 weeks. That would be three meetings in 5 weeks. Our staff and our minutes and our things and getting them out, letting you do some research, I think. And we have got meetings all over the place. So I think maybe one right the first of the next month. I mean, we can try to get a couple of them in the next month.
Okay.
But try to get them in October.
Yeah, I think that's
well, let's do something. But when in October can we get
so
them?
The third week is really full. That's week of the 17th and the 18th, rather.
Yeah.
So what's on the 13th?
We have a planning commission meeting at 3 o'clock and then our regular city council meeting at 6.
Okay, so that won't happen.
Wednesdays are just pretty much out for evening.
Well,
Tuesdays.
Well, we have some... Tuesdays, the 19th, we have our... What are we doing, our joint meeting with the districts and
utilities, and then a joint meeting afterwards. And then the next day we have a 4 and a 6 o'clock meeting.
What's the 12th look like for everybody?
12th of?
October.
It's pretty open.
Well, it'll be, that's 3 days before I leave for Hawaii for 2 weeks, so.
Good thing you're not a council member.
Have it on the 12th, the Tuesday the 12th?
Sure.
Same time?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can worry about the next thing after that, sir.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Tuesday, October 12th at 6.
But don't we want to get our name in on another slot?
We could.
Because it might be taken.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay. Let's look at the first week of November-ish.
Well, we can't squeeze anything else in October.
Well, maybe at the end. I know that on the 27th, we can't even...
Yeah.
We have a council meeting. We and the council are just... Adele can attest to this. We didn't have our second meeting this month, the city council, because we had... There's just so many meetings. And the other thing is you tend to have lots of the same people on all your committees and groups.
Well, if can you, in the next couple of days, give us some recommendations?
Well, you can do this right now. She's got
it. Yeah, 12 looks really good right now.
What?
Okay, so we'll do the 12th.
First one.
Now they want to pick one.
No, the second one.
The second one. We're good for the 12th. Put us down, quick.
Okay.
The 26th, I think, is taken, isn't it?
When are you going to be back?
It's not really open. It's open right now.
Okay. Tuesday the 26th?
26th?
Okay.
I'll be back on the 30th.
Well,
you got a cell phone?
The first week in November is pretty open, too.
Let's do that.
How about the second?
The third?
Well,
second,
the second, no.
Second or third?
Actually, the that Wednesday is open.
Or November 3rd?
November the 3rd?
Don't we have, didn't someone say Wednesdays are bad?
There is one member
that
has
said so too.
Are Tuesdays good? Are Tuesdays good for that person?
I think
Wednesdays
is the only bad.
Right, and this goes to the second?
No. Oh. Election night.
That's what?
Is that election night or the 9th?
I thought it was the next week.
The 7th is the election, first Tuesday.
Oh, no election night.
How about the 9th?
Is the 9th too far out?
Are we going to be celebrating?
Is the 9th open?
The 9th is open.
Do it.
Okay.
What
do
we
got? And then I think we have one more meeting. You're going to start narrowing it down. Then we come back to the 9th. We should have a decent rough draft. That's rough. I mean, not rough. It's narrowing. Then we need to probably go out and have more of a public meeting later in November before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Then the first week or two of December, come back, make any changes when we're done, and give it to the council for after the first year.
Okay, so we're having a meeting October 12th.
Right.
And November 9th.
Okay, not October 26th.
Not October 26th.
Okay.
And November 9th, is that a Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
And to just recap what notes I took before we have public comments, we are going to review Section 7, and that would be whether we have 5 or 7 members. Section 8, whether the mayor votes or votes all the time or votes only on a tie. On number 12, on the quorum, and Ken's going to get back to us on compelling attendance. Number 25, 2 versus 4 years for the mayor and the council member residency. And I probably missed something, but let's open it up for public comments. Going once? Going twice? Is there any other business?
Thank you, everyone, for our first night. We did a lot, and that's fun. There's a lot to it, and you see it's a little complicated. We'll get through it.